Welcome to this feedback edition of Straight Outta Low Cash. Hope you all enjoyed this episode coming up with me and Javon. Make sure you email us straightolc@gmail.com as well as on Twitter straightolc. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us some iTunes reviews. We really appreciate those. Stitcher reviews as well, and subscribe on those platforms as well as Google Play, TuneIn app. Anywhere you're getting podcasts at, you can get us there. We appreciate all the support from everyone as always, and hope you enjoyed this.
And it comes in wide. And the count now is 1-1 to Jackie Robinson. Billy Martin.
Better known as Brooklyn. Never taking shorts because Brooklyn's the borough.
Panic as another manic depressant. Adolescent stares at death. Now what's left when there ain't no God and a whole lot of pride? It might be a homicide, so let the drama slide. We don't want no problems, B. Get your name in the obituary column, shit. Cause life is too short and it just gets shorter. I wish I had a quarter for all my people they slaughter. Last year alone in the dead zone. Walk straight, but don't walk late. Cause I'm coming with a hate only made from what it made me. Cause nobody ever played me. Now it's only getting worse. Buckshot and ace in the land of the waste. Kicking you in your face. We be doing it up.
Welcome to another edition of the Feedback episode. I got my man Javon Bibbs on the line. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, D, man? What's up, brother?
Man, I'm good, man. We got a lot of emails from folks, man, wanting us to talk about some different stuff. First email is from Eli Cross. He says, hey, what's going on, fellas? You all really didn't talk about Michael Jordan on the last show. Have you all seen this petty video of him with Chris Paul at a youth camp where he refused to give out Jordans?
Oh man, I did see the video, and I saw the write up on them saying that that was the reason. Well, that he wasn't. Oh, actually, that he was gonna give some free Jordans
to all the kids at the camp.
Yeah, I mean that's what I read. I don't know how true it is, but all I know is I just saw Michael Jordan making like every shot. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But it makes it funny.
It's believable.
Yeah, because he was like, you know
definitely
what?
Believable.
I ain't giving him not one of these pair of Jordans. I ain't giving him one.
Yeah, no. They say he just about every jumper that I saw him take. Man. Michael Jordan is still a competitive dude. So I could see him out there and like with Chris Paul telling the kids to hit the floor. You know what I'm saying? I could see them see Michael Jordan just kind of going and just being like, you know what? I'm gonna show these guys I still can shoot, in which he can because he was splashing just about everything that I saw him take.
I mean, well, think about it. If looked like it was over 100 kids at that thing. If you just do the math, times $160 per Jordans, he was going to come out some grip if he didn't hit them shots, if it's true.
No, man. That's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan can give.
But I'm thinking he's that petty. I'm thinking he's that petty. That's my point.
Oh, I agree. I think he's that petty, too.
He was like, maybe if it was 5 kids, maybe I'd miss a shot for they can get some Jordans. 100-some kids?
Yeah.
I can't even justify that.
No. Maybe it's 5 kids. I might miss a shot. 10 kids? No.
100
kids? I got to show them that I'm still real, and that's what he did.
Do you think that Michael Jordan could beat 90% of the population in 1-on-1 still?
No. I mean, you got to think age. That goes back to my Chuck Norris theology or whatever.
So what's the age for a superstar for basketball where you could beat them?
Me?
Yeah.
Bill Russell age. How old is Bill Russell?
Oh, he's like in his 70s, man. That's above your 60 for fighting.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same age range for
So if you're over 60, you could beat him in 1-on-1?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna say over 70. Over 70.
Goddamn. So you said
I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm saying that way I'm safe. I feel safe.
Because I was thinking about somebody 60. Somebody 60 might be Dr. J. I'm thinking around there.
Yeah. No. Like I said, that might be a little young. So give me a set.
Bill Russell. Good. Give you Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Bad knees and all.
I'll take Bill right now.
Hey, Bill Russell probably couldn't even do wheelchair basketball. They said his knees are super bad, man. He like 7'1".
At this point in life, I feel like that's a good matchup for me.
You versus Bill Russell.
I take Bill Russell.
What about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? He getting close to 70.
Too young.
He's just too young, huh?
Yeah.
It's too young.
Too young.
All right, next up in our email, this one comes from Chris T. He says, hey, fellas, what do you all think is the best hip-hop era run for a city in history of hip-hop?
For one city?
Yeah, like, I guess he's what he I'm gonna finish his email. He says, hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show. Want to give something in for the feedback episode. I was hearing a radio show talk about the best runs for cities within hip hop. Someone was saying Atlanta has had the best run in hip hop history. That's basically what he's asking.
I mean, I would say New York, man. If you're gonna say Atlanta has had, like, let me see, Criss Cross. But, I mean, I get.
But that's not a run, though. Like, you got to be dominating.
Atlanta had a good period. I would say they were the last city to have dominated hip-hop.
Are they dominating? Are they still dominating, though?
No. Nah. I mean, you got, like, Cali's coming back up. It's like everything shifts. You know what I'm saying? So, we had a period in time where the Midwest, we had Kanye, we had Nelly. Who else? I'm trying to think. Who else was popping around?
Oh, Eminem.
Eminem, right? Eminem. Tech Nine. Detroit.
Tech Nine.
Yeah. I mean, we had a small little jolt, but it's mostly been, I would say, the East Coast, down South, and then of course Cali. Cali had a huge portion of the '90s, just as well as New York did. It was almost like 50-50. On that, because I know people that roll with, because I was more rolling with, I think you was more rolling with the East Coast and stuff in the 90s. I was rolling a lot with the West Coast in the 90s, you know what I'm saying? And also with Bone and stuff. So I don't know, man. I would say, I'm trying to think who had the biggest run?
The longest run.
I mean, I would go with New York, dog. I would go with New York.
I mean, you got to kind of de facto go to New York. Just because they started.
Yeah.
I mean, they had like a 10-20 year run before anybody else got a song out.
Exactly. And then, yeah, man, I would go absolutely with New York. Atlanta absolutely took over. Atlanta absolutely took over for a second. You know what I'm saying?
But it's took over. So. But it's not the same, though. It's not the same kind of run. But I will say this, though. I think the last of New York having a run – it's probably, what, 05? Like, but where New York artists is really, really relevant, like 05, 06 maybe? When 50 and kind of Dipset fell off?
Let me see.
I mean, but who's been a real, like, New York rapper that's been super relevant? But so I'm talking about Cam'ron and Dipset is that middle of the 2000s.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think, man. This is a good question. And I'm actually walking out the door. I'm gonna get in the car with my mom, but we still on the radio show, man. So I'm just trying to think, man. Like I said, Dipset, 50. Those are really the only two popping in New York around that time.
In 2000s period, almost where they had like movements.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you had Juwan here, Wonders. You had like Mims and people like that. But we talking about We talking about like longevity. They had T.I. They had I'm trying to think. Tip. They had who else?
Ludacris.
It was a lot of people. Ludacris. Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. They had a lot of people that were still out and actively making hits around that time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's the thing. Atlanta's had a good run though too. Atlanta has had a real good run. All right, next up in our questions, because we got like 9 of them. Next one is, have you all seen what's going on? This one is actually from Shani. She says, what do you all think about the Malia Obama situation with her smoking weed?
Oh, yeah, man. I think, you know, she just kind of got put in a bad position. She put herself in a bad position, but she's a kid, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, put it like this, at the end of the day, she's going to Harvard. So that's, you know, if my kid is going to Harvard and I see them smoking weed on film, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going to condone them smoking weed, especially somebody like in her position, she's the president's daughter. But at the same time, people can't be too judgmental on her because she is going to Harvard, and that alone speaks volume.
Allegedly, you know, on the low, she'd be kicking it with Joey Badass and them Pro Era Boys on the low, allegedly.
Yeah, man. I know.
I watched the interview. They said Joey Badass said he said the CIA, FBI, everybody was hitting him up asking all kind of questions when that picture leaked with
about
her with
that T-shirt.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out who he was. Like, dude, I don't even. People was calling him up like, yeah. So what is this pro era thing? Like, who are you? Like, I'm such and such from the Secret Service. Like, what?
Yeah,
and Joey Badass seemed like an unassuming kid, though, man. He don't even seem like, if you saw him, you wouldn't be like, oh, he up to no good. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, he seemed like a cool little hip hop young kid.
Right. Yeah, man, he does, man. Joey doesn't seem like the type of person.
He gives you a good energy to me, too, though. He gives me a good energy when you see him in interviews or performing. It feels like good. It feels like it's good energy, not like, dang, he finna go out and beat somebody. It feels like it's like genuine energy he giving out, like from his music and from his kind of the way he carry himself.
Nah, I totally agree, man.
Yeah,
I totally agree. But I know they were alarmed, especially with his name. His name. They probably like, well, okay, let me check with Joey Bad. Like, let me see what's going on with this guy, man. And I'm sure they hit him up. But I know that was kind of crazy on his part. But also too, man, that's good publicity because some people never knew who Pro Era was until it was like, you know, his daughter with their shirt on.
Hey, and I was listening to an interview of Joey Badass actually earlier today. He was on the Breakfast Club or whatever. So it was funny because you saw that.
I didn't get a chance to check it. I saw it. I didn't click on. I didn't get a chance to hear it.
Hey, he still ain't fucking with homeboy. What's the dude?
Troy Ave.
He was like, man, it's karma. Like, he basically was like, I'm sorry it happened, but it's karma, man. You talk about my dude, Capital Steez. That's been my dude since I was like 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had no sympathy for him. I mean, he had sympathy, like, it's messed up that the dude died, but he was like, I hope everything goes all right with old boy.
Yeah.
It was almost like, hope everything goes all
right. Right. Now, I ain't gonna lie, man. I feel him 1,000% just because when you speak and hate like that, man, you're putting that negative energy out. You can't expect somebody to have sympathy towards you for anything. Like, so I probably would have felt just like, you know, Joey Badass felt.
Yeah, I was.
And another thing too, his name is Javon too, man.
Yeah, that's how I tripped off that. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
All right, next up in our questions, man. This question comes from Talisa. She says, this is from her on Twitter. She asked Javon, what would be your best lineup for a comedy show? This is for you, Javon. What would your best lineup, like if you was doing a comedy show?
I would do let me see. And I ain't gonna say that no particular order.
Right, just but, a good show. Just a good show. It's almost like a good track. Like, it ain't gotta be the best MCs, but the track gotta kind of flow.
And you know what? I'm not even gonna pick. I'm gonna exclude some people. I'm gonna tell you some people that I'm not gonna use in my lineup. I'm not gonna use Dave Chappelle. I'm not gonna use Chris Rock. I'm not gonna use Mike Epps.
You're not gonna use none of the people in the top 10%.
None of the top people. So the names I'm about to name are actually people who I know that are beasts on the stage, and you know people gonna know them. So you'll know some of the people. So my show will consist of, I would do Tony Roberts.
Ooh, okay.
Lavelle Crawford.
Okay. A lot of people know them too now because they've been kind of getting a lot more press.
Right. Deion Cole. Ooh. And trying to think of who else I would do. And Will Sylvans.
Ooh, Will Sylvans. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I would do those four. Did she say like four? How many people
she said four. She said four.
Okay, yeah, four. So, I would say Deion Cole, Lavelle Crawford, Tony Roberts, and something. Who did I say for my the last one?
You said Will Sylvans.
Will Sylvans. Yeah, Will Sylvans.
Well, that's dope. That gives people some people to kind of look at and check out and see where they could kind of, you know, go with it. All right.
Yeah,
next.
Man. I'm talking about. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to go to the next question. I was just hitting them hard. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you good. You can go to the next question.
All right. Next up in the questions, this question is from Zachariah. This is from him on Twitter as well. He says, what we got to do with Bow Wow, man? Do we got to chain this, string this nigga up?
Hey, man.
So keep in mind, he responded to our feedback question I put up, and this is his response back.
Hey, man, I just think with Bow Wow, man, you know people have a midlife crisis. I think he's just having his early.
Because like, he's been in the game so long, he really like 50.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. Bow Wow is having his midlife crisis at this point. I mean, a lot of the stuff that he's been saying, and that's right, you know, he's saying he can't, what did he say, he can't relate to
the
Black
civil
Lives
rights
Matter?
And civil rights movement, period. He said the civil rights movement.
Yeah, the civil rights movement. But now the thing is, right, with that, and then it was funny that somebody posted that picture of the whole hands up, don't shoot thing, you know, the kind, you know, with the Mike Brown situation. The show Bow Wow out there with Nelly and everybody. And the hands up, don't shoot, all that is all up under the umbrella of, you know, civil rights and stuff like that. You know, it's basically us speaking out against injustice against Black folks. And if you are saying that you can't relate, like, right, why were you out there? Like, what were you speaking up against in saying that? You know, and even being out there, what were you speaking up against? And, like, for you to say you don't relate to it, it's kind of like now you're kind of making yourself even look more stupid. Like, don't even say nothing no more, man. Bob probably should just go and chill and just enjoy life. I mean, I think he had been making this stuff look silly recently anyway with the whole little CSI thing, talking about when he was in the restaurant, he was saying that the commercial came on and everybody was looking around at him. No, they weren't. Yeah. Nobody in the restaurant knew you, and they didn't even know who you were. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you were the star, or was it? I never watched CSI, so
no,
I don't know.
Yeah, nobody watched that. It was like, you know, they got like 15 million CSIs, man. So there wasn't nobody watching this show, man. What do you think about him dropping his last album, too, man?
He's dropping his last. Is he dropping an album?
He said he's dropping his last album. He's retiring from hip hop.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we Black folks we had already had retired by a while.
We had retired him already. He was already done for.
Yeah, he was definitely, man. He was. Bow Wow was already done, man. He we gave up on him a while ago, man. That's just off of just Bow Wow. He was a kid, man. He was, you know, he was a fad. He was good for what he was worth for that time period. But anything other than just your kids enjoying Bow Wow, I don't think that we look past that. I think Bow Wow was good for, like, what B2K was for the kids. It wasn't like we were like, man, Bow Wow is a lyricist. Nobody has ever said that. So, yeah, we use Bow Wow for what we, you know, what
and
we
this is actually a question that's a good question I just thought of here. What do you think, has any, like, child rapper or been able to transition well to being an adult rapper? Is there anyone, example of that? Like, one where it was a kid rapper.
When you say...
They were like a kid rapper, like a Crisscross, okay. Bow Wow.
Also Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. But he was like 30 or something when he first started, but he was lying about his age, remember?
No, but Lil Wayne, you're right. Lil Wayne, yeah.
Because he's older than us. Yeah, remember they found out he's older than us for real.
Well, no, yeah, I've been trying to say Lil Wayne right now is like 36 or something like that, yeah. So he's like 36. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think, man, of somebody who stands out and was successful. It doesn't happen in hip-hop like it did, like, for Jackson 5 and people like that, and Justin Timberlake. It doesn't happen as the same as for a hip-hop artist.
Well, even for R&B artists, what about for R&B artists, even? I guess Justin Timberlake. But, I mean, I'm thinking
Usher.
Just – I was going to say Usher's the only one. That's the one I was thinking about, was Usher's the only one. I was thinking I was the only one.
I mean, you got – okay, you got – well, let me see. The transition over. Chris Brown.
Tevin Campbell for a minute.
Yep.
Back in the, Tevin Campbell did for a minute.
Yeah. Tevin. Yeah, you got Yeah. So I'm trying to think of, man, all the people who were able to transition over. Yeah, I would say I'm trying to think of a good list. I would say Chris Brown, Usher, trying to think of some females. Beyonce, would you say that she was a child?
Yeah, she was a teenager when I was out. Yeah.
Yeah. So Beyonce. It's a few. R. Kelly, does that count as he was dating 14-year-olds? Or just does that count?
You know what? It may kind of count. Remember, he posted a sing. Didn't he sing at what's homeboy that died for Chicago that was the dope basketball player?
Oh, wait a minute, dog. I thought about one. I just thought about one.
Who?
I just thought about. So are we saying they were teenagers,
yeah,
like starting off in hip-hop?
Yeah.
Outkast.
They were like 19, no, 20. So I'm thinking more
child.
No, were
they? No.
Yeah.
They weren't 19. No, I thought they was younger than that.
No, when that first album came out, they was 19.
You positive?
100% positive. Because remember, if you ever see the Dungeon Family documentary, they talk about how Big Boy said he graduated high school and Dre dropped out.
Yeah, but that was after they released their album, though, wasn't it?
No. He graduated high school, but he graduated high school before they dropped.
Okay.
But that's a good example of it. No, that's a good one. That's a good example.
Yeah.
Someone that's close to it is T.I., though, because T.I. started out at 19, too, with that I'm Serious album.
Right. Now, what's your name?
Yep.
Papa number one.
Yep.
I remember that.
He was 19. He was 19 when that came out. I'm trying to think of anybody else, though, man. That's a good question. That's a good thought there. All right, let me go ahead and hit back to the mailbag here real quick. This next question comes from Tasha Witherspoon. She says, I'm a native St. Louis and lives in Japan now in the military. Do you all think that Nelly has been kind of forgotten in the way of hip-hop history? Do you think people neglect him and don't think him as his classic person?
I think some people don't. I think some people do neglect Nelly. But, man, Nelly had me feeling like Superman at one point, man. Nelly and the Saint Lunatic,
man. Go ahead and tell that story, man. Tell that story, man, about the time you was at a party with Murphy.
Oh, man, we were, man. Oh, yeah. I was with them, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell it. Hey, man, what was the young lady name who sent us the email?
Hold on. Let me go back up into the thing. My computer's acting slow here. Dang, go ahead. I gotta pull it up here because it's hold up.
Okay, well I'll go into it, man. Back in the day when Nelly and them were popping, man, this is when Nelly actually first blew up, dude. And then they did I want to say this is maybe right before the Free CD album was coming out. Well, actually, you know what? The Free CD album had already come out, so Nelly was, man, he was on the scene heavy. Like, it was like, man, this dude. So he was really out here. And there was a Kappa party, man, downtown. And with it being a Kappa party, me and my homeboy Keys, we were there. And my homeboy Keys, you know, he had on his jewelry and stuff, man. This back when, you know, this when he used to hustle. So he had the fat diamonds and stuff. His stuff was all the way real. Mine wasn't real. I had on a chain. It was fake.
Roxanne is her name.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Roxanne. I'm sorry. Okay, Roxanne. Now, Roxanne, I had on a fake chain. I had on a Rams jersey. You know, I had on the Air Force Ones. You got to have on your Air Force Ones. And then Keys had on his outfit, too. He had on, like, a Rams jersey. He had on real jewelry and stuff. So then we left out the Kappa party, and all of a sudden we see a V12 Benz parked up in the grass. I'm like, damn, somebody got their Benz parked in the grass. I had a little Thunderbird at the time. And so then as we see, we look, and it's Nelly. Nelly parked his Benz in the grass. Him, Big B, they were like leaning on Nelly's car. You know, Big B, Nelly, they were kind of like standing next to the car leaning up on it a little bit. And so then me and my boy Keys, we stood back, like, right. Keys, not that one thing, he knew somebody that was on, like, leaning next to the car too. So it was like, we started talking to them, wanted somebody from Nelly camp, and then we stood there too and kind of leaned on the car a little bit, but not too disrespectfully. We weren't like sitting all up on top of his car, and like, so we leaned a little bit on the car, a little bit, because we had already like let them know, babe, we knew somebody within their group. So then, like, you know, we were sitting there, man. We just feeling good, taking it all in, because it looked like we knew. It looked like we was lunatics. At that moment, I was the same lunatic. That's what I felt like. So then, all of a sudden, it was time to wrap it up, and everybody was leaving. And everybody was leaving. Murph, everybody, like, Murphy Lee was there, Kiwan, St. Louis, we were on at this point. So you got Murph and all of them standing outside. then Murph was like, he was getting ready. He yelled out to, I guess, Nelly and them, letting them know, hey, we getting ready to roll out or whatever. And then so everybody started departing. And then as Murph said that, you know, I got my Rams jersey on, I got my chain on, so I got to make it like I'm bigger than what I really am. So I just said, hey, I'm going to roll with Murph. I was lying. Like, Murph didn't even hear me say that.
Did anybody turn around and look like who?
I can't even remember, man. But I just know that at that moment, I said I had to push the lie to the limits. I said I gotta go with this. I said at this point, if women saw me on this car, they are going to believe that I'm here with Nelly and them. And the only way they're gonna believe that is if I yell out, I'm a roll with Murph. And I said that I felt good. I still don't feel bad about it. I still feel like, hey, that lie, I had like, that's something it was about survival at that moment. I leaned on the car so long that I had to really sell it by saying, I'm going to go with Murph. And that's what I did. I got in my own car. I did get my own car. I didn't go with Murph. Murph probably would have been like, who the fuck are you? At that time, I know Murph now. What's up, Murph? But so, yeah, I know Murph. I know Kiwan. You know, I know them now. Them the homeboys. But back then, we didn't know each other, and that shit would have been weird had I even walked his direction. But yeah, so that was my story about, you know, the whole Nelly thing. I of course bumped into Nelly other times since then. But man, that was a historic moment in St. Lunatic for me.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand it, maybe outside of this city, man, how big and crazy that energy changed. It literally changed the whole complexion of St. Louis, man, period. Like, even to this day, the way even St. Louis has moved, even economically, I feel, has a lot to do with Nelly blowing up the city and giving it attention.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, and absolutely, then and a lot of man. Things kind of was working that year because the Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. You know, a lot of stuff.
Larry
was
Hughes,
like Larry
Darius
Hughes was popping.
Miles.
Yep, they was all getting drafted. And it was just all this stuff was kind of bringing towards the city, and Nelly was like the culmination of everything. Like, this dude from the crib, he talking about St. Louis stuff.
And then, not even that, but then when Jay-Z said, "Only dudes moving units, M, Pimp, Juice, and Us." Like, what you getting mentioned with Eminem and Jay? And he said, M, Pimp, Juice, Nelly, and us, them only dudes moving units. Boom. That just showed you Jay got respect for Nelly. You know what I'm saying? And that made me feel good. I'm like, damn.
This dude
Jay got respect for Nelly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
Nelly
man.
Is majorly respected in the game, man. Majorly respected by a lot of cats, man. Regardless of all the drama and stuff I know within our city, people may not even know about what stuff, man. But, man, that dude has definitely did a lot for this city. And the energy and the way he changed hip-hop, man. He is a person of hip-hop. I know how people may, you know, hate because he was doing the singing stuff and all that a little bit. But, dude can rhyme his ass off, man. People go – if y'all get a chance, I put up that Give Me What You Got on my Facebook page. And, Ryan, you had shared it too. Him and Ali are killing it on there. And that's a classic joint. Like, that's just St. Lunatic at its finest, you know, before anybody even outside the crib knew who they were. And it was just one
man,
of them
– That's what we need to do, dog. We need to have a whole show. Like, now you already know the theme for the next show that we're going to do. I think we should have did it last week. But we need to do a show, man, and dedicate it to the Lunatics. I'm talking about just talk to people about how they felt during that time period when the St. Lunatics were out, and just pretty much have a whole show and see if we can have a rim, mix it, and have, like, all the St. Lunatic cuts. Yeah, and just dedicate. I'm talking about that one thing. Go back to, you know, Give Me What You Got. Like, do all of them. We have a show and pretty much just dedicated to. And we call it this us brainstorming on air. Y'all did like this. This ain't nothing that we pre-planned, but that's what we need to do, man. For
no,
real,
that's real.
We need to do that.
That's real. All right. This actually our last question here. This is from on our list. This is from Milton. He says, you all have been talking about Arsenio Hall a lot lately on the show. What is one of your favorite episodes as you can remember the Arsenio Hall show?
Oh, I'm trying to think, man.
It's so many
my
of them.
My favorite.
Man.
Yeah, I'm with you, D. I really like one episode I like, man, and it just off of two people that I really, really like. They're idols to me. You know what I'm saying? But Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, with them on the episode. I know it was asked by Arsenio to Mike, like, who would win in the heavyweight match. between, and like, dude, this is during a time where people thought that Mike Tyson was crazy.
Right.
Now, mind you, I'm a kid, and I'm talking about, man, no homo, but I'm in love with Mike Tyson. I'm not saying it like that, but I'm saying I just love Mike Tyson as a human, man. I'm like, man, I love this dude. This dude is, like, so real. You know what I'm saying? So, for me to see Mike Tyson in this light, and it was like the way he answered it even back then, man, it just showed that dude is a human. I just felt like he was just misunderstood by the wrong people. Like, the people who rock with Mike knew Mike was a genuine dude, but the way he answered it, seeing you ask them who would win in their prime versus him versus Muhammad Ali, and Mike even was like, you know, nah, you know, he's the greatest, you know, yeah, I give it to, and like, he gave Ali his props, man. It was just great for me at that moment, seeing two black men on stage, and then one person, everybody looked at like he's fucking crazy, and he giving props to somebody else who at one point looked at as arrogant and showboated too much. And it just that made me feel good, man. I even like seeing Tupac on there.
Oh, Tupac's big. Got some of the best interviews on there. He's been on it like three or four times, man. He was on it three or four times, man.
So is he asking what is our favorite episode?
Yeah, our favorite moment, I guess.
I can't even tell you, man. Bobby Brown had some moments on there. Like,
hey, remember the last episode? Remember the last episode where they had like 30 rap artists on there?
Yeah, man, they had like everybody getting on there.
And just freestyling. Yeah. They weren't doing no real. They was just freestyling about Arsenio.
Yeah, well, Snoop even got on there before. Do you remember that when he freestyled and he said something about Eazy-E?
Yeah, man, that was crazy then, yeah. Though, because Eazy-E came on there and performed. Real Compton City G. Then you had Dre come on there. Like, it was just like, he was literally doing everything you would want to see for a night show, man. Like, we definitely didn't appreciate that show when it was on, man. Like, or at least it feels like, you know, in the lexicon of things, people are going to be like, you know, Arsenio was cool. Nah, it was more than cool, especially for a black kid, man. I used to stay up on the Lolo and watch that every night, dog. I would wait till my parents go to sleep, or I would just close my room, and I would try to shade the light from the TV before I could watch TV, man.
Yes, man. Yes.
And what I would do is I would make sure it was the people I knew, though. Like I would see, I would have to get to at least the part where it was like showing who's gonna be on the show, and then I could decide if I'm going to sleep, if I'm going to sleep or not.
Like Arsenio Hall show tonight. Special guest.
It'd be like, Emilio Estevez. You'd be like, ah, man, I'm going to bed, man. Emilio Estevez, I'm good. I'm going to bed.
Said Emilio Estevez. And tonight's special guest, Charlie Sheen. We'd be like, who is that?
I'm going to bed. That's the dude from Hot Shots. You have to figure it out when.
I ain't gonna watch this.
Yeah, I'm going to bed, man. Then he'd be like, on tonight's show, Easy. Oh, shit. I got to sit up and wait for this.
Man, right. And Snoop Doggy Dog.
Oh, no.
Hell yeah.
Or it'd be like, Jodeci. Oh, no. They put Jodeci on here?
Yes. Nah, we watching it. We watching it. Jodeci going to be on here tonight. Special guest. Chris Cross, we'd be like, hell yeah! Chris Cross gonna be on there.
Hey, remember when they did the whoop there it is versus whoop there it is? They remember that. Remember 95 South had whoop there it is. Remember, and then you had tag team with whoop
there it is.
Arsenio Hall had a battle between both of them one night. It was
both of them was on there.
Both of them was on there. They did it back to back. Hoot there it is versus whoop there it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember that one.
It was 95 South was the group that did Whoop There It Is. Because they came out the same time. Because Whoop There It Is kind of got.
Tag team did Whoop There It Is.
Whoop There It Is. Yeah, and that got more popular with more kind of more mainstream. Whoop There It Is kind of more in your hood clubs. Because that was 95 South. Because 95 South had, they was the little dance group. Like the song, hey ho, can a nigga get something to go? The songs like that. You know, that was them.
Okay.
And the 69 boys and all them was kind of running around in Florida together and whatnot. But, dude, man, people sleep on that, man, that Arsenio Hall show. Dude, I just go on YouTube sometimes and watch random interviews on there. You'd be like, yo, he was doing it, man. And then, like, some of the interviews with Eddie Murphy are real good because it's like they laughing about inside stuff you can tell, but, like, they can't talk about it. It feels like you'd be like, what about that one girl in Seattle? Oh, come on, Arsenio.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Xenia Hall's going to be performing here in St. Louis, man.
Yeah.
The Helium Comedy
I'm going to go, man. I'm going to go check him out, man. I'm going to check him out. All right, Javon, we're going to wrap this up, man. Let everybody know where they can hit you up at.
Man, look, y'all can follow me at Javon, JOVANBIBBS. That's on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook. It's the same. On Facebook, follow my comedian page. It's Comedian Javon Biz. Comedian, JOVANBIBBS. Follow me on there. But, yeah.
All right. Definitely people keeping us up with the feedback, straightolc@gmail.com. As well as hit us up on the Stroud Lowcast fan page and Straight OLC on Twitter. We'll be doing feedback show again next week, and we'll have another Stroud Lowcast episode coming up this week too with the full show. So we appreciate y'all listening as always. Peace.